Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Hey, friend. Welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. Today's conversation is one that I think will resonate with so many of you because life has a way of bringing seasons that we never planned for. Sometimes it feels like everything is changing all at once. We experience loss and unexpected transitions, health challenges, shifting family dynamics, and suddenly we find ourselves asking, God, where are you in all of this? And while we might not always get the answer that we want, God often gives us something even better, His presence. Today, I get to chat with my new friend, Angela. And over the last few years, she's walked through the loss of both of her parents, watched her oldest child move away to another country, faced health challenges all on her own, and found herself navigating a season filled with uncertainty. Yet in the middle of all those changes, God has been teaching her something beautiful about His goodness, His faithfulness, and the reality that His goodness and mercy are still pursuing us, even when we struggle to see it. Welcome, Angela. I am so glad that you're here.
I'm so glad to be on. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So before we dive in, y'all know I love a good fun fact. And Angela, you have a black belt in a type of martial arts that I've never heard of, and I didn't even want to try to pronounce, but I think it's one of the most fun, like kick butt fun facts we've had on this podcast. So of course I have to ask, how did you get involved in martial arts? And then what made you stay to earn a black belt?
Well, okay. So I was homeschooling my kids at the time and we needed to figure out a fun PE thing to do. And so I wanted to get them involved in martial arts. I just thought it would be fun. And so I have some friends who taught martial arts in a different town. And I was saying, hey, what do you know about Kuk Sul Wan martial arts? And they said, It is, they dug in. They actually called the master at the place and said, yes, he's the real deal. Go do it. So I went to sign my kids up. And it was around Mother's Day and they were having a free thing for mothers. And they said, hey, why don't you try it with them and see if you like it? And so I tried it and I liked it.
Yeah. And so, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so it hooked me in. So it was something I could do with my kids. And then of course, because of who I am, I ended up being asked if I would be an assistant instructor. So I got to be an assistant instructor and loved, loved, loved every second of it. Unfortunately, I injured my foot, so I ended up stepping out. But I do have my black belt in Kuk Sul Wan martial arts. It's from South Korea.
Wow. That's amazing. Yes, I've never heard of that one. That's amazing. I have so many follow-up questions, but that's so cool. My kids dabbled in martial arts for a little bit before we started traveling. We did a Krav Maga and jujitsu.
There you go.
It was Krav Maga and jujitsu is what we tried because I don't know, maybe other people, I mean, when you're in the homeschool world, they do kind of influence you of, hey, well, this is what we do. I'm like, great, awesome. More community. And I love that. So one of the things though I do remember is that martial arts requires a lot of that discipline and the perseverance and continuing to show up even when progress feels slow, which it often does, especially with those things. And it's so much like our walk in faith, right? Because trusting God in difficult seasons often it's not always just one big moment. It's these little things that just seem to pile up, but we keep choosing Him every single day. And that's where our faith grows. And that's where we get our black belt in Jesus.
Yes.
It's just so great.
Yes. I think the thing about martial arts, there's a couple of things, but some of the things that you learn is just that it's not ever failure. It's just a first attempt in learning. And so every time you make a mistake, you just get back up off the mat and try again. And that's the beautiful thing about our Christian faith is God's not going to beat us for hitting the ground. He's going to say, okay, child, let me help you back up and let's go at it again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's beautiful. Beautiful transition. I love that. So you have shared with me that you are in a season of transition now. So what does that season look like for you right now?
Well, as you said in the intro, I have over the last couple years, I've lost both of my parents. It was in a 15-month period. I have seen my oldest child fly the nest and move to South Korea, which is a long ways away. And
yes,
I have even my youngest now has graduated high school. And so I'm going to end up in the empty nest syndrome. So now my youngest has graduated high school. I'm going to be an empty nester, figuring all of that out. And then on top of that, experiencing the fact that, for lack of a better term, I'm an orphan now. I don't have my parents to help support or guide me anymore. So all of that it's just a lot. Yeah. Learning a new season and seeing the Lord work even there, where it's a season you necessarily didn't want to have. Part of it. And then the other part is it's a brand new season with new opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of women, especially our friends listening, that find themselves carrying a lot of hard things at once. And sometimes it's just overwhelming because you try to navigate it all faithfully, but some things fall through the cracks. So with the loss of both of your parents and then your oldest moving overseas and the health challenge, where has God been, or what has God been teaching you about trust in this season?
Oh yeah, that He is faithful and that I can trust in Him. But also, yeah, I think too often as believers, we want to think that we already have all the answers and we want to go, well, yeah, God's trustworthy. And we kind of skip the whole, this is really, really hard and I don't like this portion. Yeah. And so He's been telling me that as a believer, I can trust the Lord, but I can also cry out and say, I don't understand. This doesn't feel fair. This isn't what I expected, and lament to Him as long as I am coming to Him.
Yeah. And that actually goes perfectly with the story that you shared about a moment with your dad near the end of his life. You were reciting Psalm 23 over him. Can you take us back to that moment? I know it's a sacred memory, but I would love for our listeners to hear what happened there.
Yeah. So my dad had dementia and he was at a place in his fight with dementia, I guess, for lack of a better term, that he had not really opened his eyes much for about 24 hours, hadn't said much that made a whole lot of sense, but he was getting really agitated as he was laying in his bed and sometimes even almost sitting up, and we didn't want him to fall out. And so the chaplain that had been working with him had told me when he was a little bit healthier that he had been reciting Psalm 23 with him, and that seemed to help relax him. And so I'm standing over my dad's bed reciting Psalm 23, you know, and you start, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm having this conversation with the Lord, like, God, right here, I have a lot of wants, you know? As I'm reciting this psalm, I'm also telling the Lord what I'm having in my head. I'm having this conversation that this doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel restful. It doesn't feel, you know, all of these things. And you get to the end where it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And my thought is, oh goodness, Lord, I don't know what goodness looks like here, but I sure do know what mercy looks like here. And I know that mercy is going to mean that you're going to be taking my dad home sometime soon. And then come to the end and you say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And I'm just thinking, that's where my dad's going to get to be. And then my dad says the last word, and he says, forever. And so it was like the Lord was just right there with me saying, yes, it is merciful that your dad is going to be leaving soon, but I know where he's going and he knows where he's going.
Mm. That's so beautiful. I feel like that's just a gift that God gave you that you'll never forget. Just such a precious moment that even in his mind not fully being there, he had lucidity enough with Jesus because he was closer than we are right now, and just so beautiful. So how has that that interaction just right there, how has God reshaped your understanding of his goodness through grief?
Yeah, his nearness is so valuable, and realizing that first thing, he resides in us, and so he's always with us, but him being willing to show me that he was present in that special way just was so comforting. And it reminded me of what he tells us in I believe it's 2 Corinthians, just that God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And so that's why it's such a joy to share this sacred story, because God was there with me and my dad in that moment, and he will be with you in all of your moments. He is chasing after you with goodness and mercy, and he does have a place for you to dwell forever, but he's also always with us, even in that valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. Goodness looks different than what we usually expect, right? And I'm sure that in our times of need and concern, we want it to just be fixed. We want it to be in our earthly understanding of fixed, but his understanding is a lot different than ours. And we don't know what is all going on in the background, but he is good and faithful and merciful every bit of the way. And it reminds me of verse you mentioned earlier in Lamentations 3, and just the importance of bringing these things to God honestly. So what has God been teaching you about lament through that scripture?
Yeah. So it's Lamentations 3, and he's, you know, complaining about all the terrible things that are happening. And honestly, he even admits that all of these terrible things that are happening are a result of Israel's sin. And then he says, "But this I bring to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And he goes on to talk about how the Lord is his portion. And then after he says that, he goes back to complaining to the Lord about how terrible things are. And, and so I love this, because God is saying, "Look, I already know how you feel about this situation. I know the thoughts in your head. Take them to me, because I'm the only one who can do anything about it anyway. Because I am the creator of the universe, because I am sovereign, because I am the only one who can comfort you here." And then he reminds us of his character. So often we are staring at our circumstances so long that we forget to stare at our Lord and see his loveliness and his beauty and his character, even in the midst of the hard things.
So
he's been teaching me lament, cry out, be honest, but also never stop looking at my beauty and my loveliness.
It reminds me of the story of Habakkuk, however you say it, tomato, tomato. But where he's doing that too. He's like, there's all these terrible things that are happening to me, around me, from me. Like, however, no matter what bad is going on in my life, I will still worship you, even if the flowers don't bloom and the fig tree never produces it, even if the rivers and water runs dry, you are still good and I will worship you. I will praise you. And I think that's something that we constantly need reminders of, is that he is faithful and good to hear all of our complaints, but he is also even more to receive our praise and our thanksgiving and our gratitude in the circumstances, maybe not necessarily for, right? We don't want to say, "Thank you, Lord, for this terrible time." But in that terrible time, in our wilderness seasons, we can come before him and lament and cry out and say, "I don't like this." And he is so gentle to just hold you and go, "I know, but do you trust me?" Right? Do you trust me in the next one? He is still sovereign no matter what we're going through. And I think that Christians, we struggle in knowing how to grieve honestly while still holding on to hope.
Yes.
That's hard.
Yes. And let's be honest, because sometimes, I mean, we know we serve a God who is able to do the impossible things. And so, you know, I'm standing over my dad and I worship a God who could choose to completely heal him of his Lewy body dementia on this planet, or he could take him and heal him in eternity.
Yeah.
So how do you love a God who's able to give you the desires of your heart and isn't at that point? But I think sometimes our desires of our hearts, we don't even really know what they are, right?
Right, right. No, we don't. You said something that really stood out to me. You said, when I call to mind who God is, then I have hope. In that vein, how do we practically shift our focus from circumstances back to God when life does feel heavy and everything is just coming all in at once?
Such a good question. I don't think that there's one or two simple ways necessarily. I think we can all do it in a lot of different ways. One thing is just making sure we really are spending time either in God's word or if we can't, because sometimes when things are so hard, it's hard to open the word. Turn on worship music that extols who God is. Not the kind that's just about me, but the kind that about is really about who God is. Because the things that our mind dwells on are the things that are going to shape our day, whether we want them to or not. So if we're constantly dwelling on, oh my gosh, my parents are sick and they're dying and this is not fair and this is really hard, and that's all we say and all we do, where is God in that? We don't see his hope. Yeah. We don't see his light. We don't see his beauty. But if we wake up in the morning and we say, thank you, Lord, for this day, you are good. You are faithful. I know you can do all things. I trust that you are working all things out for the good of those who love you, even if I don't see it. Now help my unbelief. Those are honest prayers, and those are ways of focusing our eyes on who God is and what he's done for us. Another way is remember, go back and remind yourself, how has God worked in my life? Where are some of those moments where I know God has intersected my life in special ways? Because that's why God is reminding the Israel all the time. Remember, I brought you out of Egypt. Remember, we crossed the Red Sea. Remember, I fed you with manna. Yeah. Remember, and we think, why is God having to remind them of this? That's all amazing things. It's the same thing in our lives. What are the amazing things that God has done? Because he has done amazing things in your life. And if you can't remember what they are, you don't know, ask God to show you. A lot of the things that we think are odd or weird or happenstance, that's really God intersecting your life. And he has been active in your life. And so look for the ways he's been active. Remember who he is and know what he has done.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. We far too often forget. And that's exactly where the Israelites were. Even as God was providing exactly what they needed, they were still complaining and forgot all of the good, like what he just literally brought them out of. Then they're like, oh, well, we don't need to complain about that anymore. We want to complain that you're just giving us honey and dry bread. But how often do we do that same thing? What rhythms do you implement that keep your heart anchored in the uncertain seasons?
Yeah. You've got to stay in his word. However you do it, is it a devotional? Is it one verse a day? Is it a Bible reading plan? But the one way that you know that you're really focusing on who God is by being in his word, because that is how he has revealed himself to humanity. So that's one of the biggest ways. Another rhythm routine is just making sure you really are spending time in prayer with the Lord every day. It doesn't have to be, I'm spending 1 hour on my knees. Most of my prayers are as I go along my day prayers. And there's nothing wrong with a prayer that you're sitting still for an hour for, or a prayer that you're doing along your day. What prayer is an opportunity for you to turn your heart and mind to the Lord and talk to him, but also it's an attitude of listening to him as well. And so that attitude can be struck as you're washing laundry, as you're driving to the store, as you're working. And so calling out to him and spending time in his word are important. And of course, I mean, other fellow believers who are going to lift you up and encourage you are important as well.
Yeah, I love that. That's my three things that if I am ever sharing that or ever asked, or you know, even on podcasts, it seems so simple. And I even say that is that we make it too complicated. I think we make following the Lord, being a Christian, having this relationship with Him, we make it too complicated, and it's not. It's reading His word, like you said, which we make also too complicated because it doesn't have to be sitting down and spending 4 hours studying it. It can be, you know, memorizing a little bit. It can be reading one scripture at a time and just meditating on that throughout your day. I mean, it doesn't, listening to the Bible, even if you don't even have the brain capacity to read it yourself, there are so many apps out there to let you read it. But you're right, we can't know who God is and what he's got for us if we don't know those things. And so, yes, read your Bible, talk to Him. And one thing that I have learned that has really helped is fasting. Sometimes when we're in those seasons, if we ask, Lord, is this the time that I need to be fasting? What does that look like? It can be so pivotal in those moments because it really does bring you even closer to Him because it helps you to focus more on Him. But again, was the acronym KISS, keep it simple, mm-hmm. sister. Yeah. Keep it simple because we make it so hard, but it doesn't have to be. Life is already hard enough. God did not give us this beautiful relationship with Him to just put more on our plate. He says, my
yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yes, He does.
And Jessica, I'll even say this. I think that often it's even simpler than we give ourselves credit for because we don't think about what we're listening to or what we're watching, or it's just part of our everyday life. Like some people literally yes. wake up and the first thing they do is turn on the TV, or they wake up and they fell asleep to the TV, so the TV's still on. But if that is the soundtrack of your home or the soundtrack of your life, then no wonder you're stressed and anxious all the time because what's on TV is kind of crazy a lot of times, right? So maybe it's turn off the TV and turn on a different radio station. Maybe it's, I love true crime podcasts, but maybe it's fewer true crime podcasts and more listening to edifying podcasts or even just praise and worship music. Or like you said, just turn on the Bible and have it go audio because the soundtrack of your life does matter. And if you are constantly listening to things that are anxiety provoking and that kind of thing, it's going to be harder to go through these harder and darker times because all you're listening to are things that stress you out and not listening to things about the Lord, who is the only one who can make a difference.
Exactly. And something that has come to my mind that I feel like I need to share is that sometimes when we're in a wilderness season, when we're in these very hard seasons where we don't know how we're going to get out or where the light is at the end of the tunnel, sometimes we just want to wallow in our grief and our sadness. And I want to give permission to those that are listening. It's okay to do that. It's absolutely okay to be mad. I just pray that you are not hearing us say that you need to be joyful and happy about all the circumstances in your life. What I'm saying is what we're trying to get you to see is that even though life sucks sometimes, God never does. And He is always there for us. And so He wants to hear the good and the bad and the ugly and the cries and the tears and the woe is me. And He wants to hear it all. And when we give Him those burdens, He does take them from us and He lightens the load so that we can rejoice in our suffering. So if you just need a moment to be sad and mad, it's okay. And God loves you regardless of what your thoughts are. He is there for you and He wants to hear all of these things from you. He already knows what you're thinking, but He loves to hear it from you, just like a child and a parent relationship. We know if our kids have done wrong, we just would love to hear it from them, right? Or if they're sad, sometimes they just need to come to us and then it just blossoms into this beautiful relationship. So I hope you that are listening just can understand and relate to it's okay to not have it all together, but you don't have to stay there, I think is what Angela and I are getting to in this. So Angela, if there is someone listening today who is struggling to see God's goodness in their own circumstances, what would you like them to know?
Just like you said, God wants to hear your doubts, your confusion, your I don't understands. I mean, look at the book of Job, right? God's words of condemnation were not for Job, who was like, I don't understand. I don't think this is fair. I wish I'd never been born. All of those things. His words of condemnation were for his friends who said, hey, you're experiencing this because of sin.
Yeah.
So come to the Lord. But then also, here's the other thing I want you to hear. We often don't have eyes to see the light because the darkness is so deep. So it's okay to say, God, I don't see your goodness and your mercy here. Show me. God, you say that you have, that you're following after me with goodness and mercy. I don't see it here. Show me. Because you're not, what you're doing is you're not challenging God and you're not saying, I don't believe you, Lord, and I'm mad at, you know, and maybe you are mad and it's okay to be mad too. But but what you're really saying is you're saying, God, I want to believe and I'm help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And the Lord will be faithful to that. And I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight. I'm not going to say it's going to happen like a lightning strike, but I will tell you this, when you come to the Lord, you will walk away blessed and you will walk away changed. And when you come to him, you're close enough to hear him whisper words of encouragement, sometimes even correction, but you will have comfort and hope because you are coming to the God of all comfort.
Yes. Oh, Angela, this has been just such a beautiful conversation. Thank you for sharing both the hard parts and the hope that you found in the middle of everything that's going on. And one thing that just stand out to me, and we, you know, have mentioned it several times, is just the picture of God's goodness and his mercy that pursues us. Not just on the easy days, not just when everything makes sense, but in the grief and the uncertainty and the moments where we wonder where he is. And I'm so thankful for you and your time here. So as we wrap up, I want to ask you one question that I ask every guest, and that is, what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
No, without the shadow of a doubt, that God really is following you with goodness and mercy. And if you don't see it, and you don't feel it, ask him to show you, and he will.
Love that. Friend, I hope this conversation encouraged you today. Maybe you're walking through grief. Maybe you're facing a season of transition. Maybe you're carrying questions that don't yet have answers. I hope that you'll remember that God's goodness and mercy are still pursuing you, even when you can't see it, even when you don't understand it, and even when the road ahead feels uncertain. Keep bringing your heart to him. Keep focusing on who he is and keep trusting that he is faithful. Before we go, you know that if you've been listening for any part of this time, maybe you've got a story on your heart that you would love to share. I would love to hear from you. This podcast is built on real stories and real perspectives, and there's someone out there that needs to hear what God has been doing in your life. So reach out to me at perspectivesinapractice.com. I want to hear from you. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.